I desire your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God, depending on Him yet one more time. Always dependent on Him, but just desire by the help and grace of God that the thoughts that He was given would be presented in the way that He would have them to fulfill the purpose that He would have them to fulfill. I have some thoughts this morning about God's favor. And when we think about that word favor, it is defined as friendly regard shown toward another, especially by a superior. And when we think about this morning in a natural sense, just all the things that each and every one of us do on a daily basis, wherever we are, whether we are at home or at work or just different places that we go, interactions that we have with others, that how we present ourselves in such a way so that somebody looks down on us with favor. You know, it's a natural thing as human beings. It's something that that we crave. We want other people to think of us in a nice way, right? I mean, I can't think of anybody that just says, I mean, I know growing up they used to say a little saying that we used to say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And you've heard me say that. We know that that's a lie. It's just something about human beings. They like other people to think well of them. So now what do? In our daily lives, we participate, the things that we participate in, and how we carry ourselves, we do it in such a way so that other people look on us with favor. You know, it happens in all of the relationships that we have. We that's what we do. It's just part of nature, right? And even just maybe this little simple things, you know, interactions, even with strangers, somebody you may not even know, you know, something maybe that's somewhat a little bit forgotten now, but it's still people that do it. If you're walking up to a store or somewhere that you're going and there's a door that's not automatic and somebody's walking behind you, what do? You open the door for them, right? You know, and then to somebody, you know, what do you think that person thinks of you? If you, oh, well, thank you. You know, right? I appreciate that. Thank you for holding the door. Even if there may be a few steps away, I thank you for that. You know, don't you think this may be somebody that you may never see the rest of your life? But you know that they're going to have, I remember that. At that time I was at the store and he just opened the man or woman to open the door for me and that was nice of them. So it's just something that we do naturally about just so that people will look on us with favor. You know, and then sometimes you can do all that you can to try to do that, but still there's really no guarantee that that person is going to look on you in that way. Right? I mean, I could hold a door open for somebody and they could go in and they don't say anything. Or maybe you walk by someone and say, hey, how you doing today? And they just keep on walking. You know, but it's still, does that affect the way that, you know, still we recognize that there's no guarantee. There's not anything that we're going to necessarily get back to show that person appreciates the you kind of showing favor, trying to look on them in a nice way. But, you know, it's. And even sometimes you think about an adage in the world today is like, what you done for me lately, right? You showed favor to me last week, but what about right now? I need this or now I need that. And, you know, some people will switch on you just like that. You know, but it's just things that we do on our jobs. We try to carry ourselves and present ourselves in such a way so that people will look on us with favor. And that's okay. And you know what? Those of us that proclaim to have a relationship with God, you know that we have a duty and a responsibility to do that to our fellow man. And it's regardless of how they respond to us, we have a responsibility because we recognize God shows favor to us. And it's up to me to show favor to His creation. You know, and I recognize that I was pondering this thought, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, I can do better. Help me, Lord, to show favor to your creation. Those that I come in contact with from time to time, to show that favor, that the same favor that you've extended to me. Help me, Lord, to show it to them. You know that the utmost, the greatest, and the most important favor that we can seek is God's favor. That's the, and you know, it's the, that's the greatest, it really, when it really boils down to, you know, we can do all that we can to try to have people look on us favorably, and maybe they don't. But you know what? If they don't, that's okay. Because you know what? It's all about, is God, do I have God's favor? Do I have God's favor as I'm going through my life and endeavoring to do the things that he desires me to do? That's whose favor I want. I could have the favor of everybody in the whole world. And I could, that could uplift me and probably give me a big head and all that. But you know what? That doesn't matter. I want God's favor. If you gave me a choice to say you can either have God's favor or the favor of the 8 billion now, everybody in the whole world knew you and thought very highly of you. Or you want God's favor. I'll take God's favor. Amen. That's the most important thing. And you know, mankind has been seeking God's approval, his favor. It's a part of us. It's a part of our makeup. It's a part of our DNA. There's a scripture in Job, the 32nd chapter and the 8th verse, which is a very familiar text of scripture to us. And it says there in Job 32 and 8. What does it say? But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. Right? So there's something within us that craves his approval, that craves his favor. That it's just part of our makeup. When you think about how God, when he created mankind, the scripture says he formed man out of the dust of the ground. So he formed us with his hands, right? Mankind. But then there was something else that he did. See, he breathed into mankind the breath of life. So God gave us a part of him. See, and that's why, what is it about mankind that doesn't have God's favor? If you don't have God's favor in your life, something's missing. Because there's God, when he made mankind, he gave us all a part of him. So that's why there's something within us that craves it. So it's we need it. God gave himself a part of us. And we need that connection with our creator to be whole. Right? That's all a part of it. If that part is missing in my life, then I'm not whole. It's necessary. And I need to be brought back. You know, we're all of us, we're born lost, right? We're fallen. We're Brother Johnson says we live in a fallen world. That's just mankind. But he made it possible for us to be restored back. Because there's a part of us that has longs and aches to be associated with our creator. And that's that favor that we seek from him. There's something within us, that spirit in man and the inspiration of God. The Almighty is the one that gives to understanding to each and every one of us individually. You know, and this favor, mankind has been seeking favor from God since the beginning of time. So there's that word favor, and there's a little difference in the spelling between what we in our English language and how it's interpreted here, how it's written in the Bible. And I understand that has to do with Old English versus the modern English. The modern English took the U out. So it means the same thing, right? It's the same word. It's just a little bit of language, right? So now, and here's another way about this favor. In the Hebrew and Greek, it's often translated as grace or God's approval. All right? So now there's 70 occurrences in the Bible where favor is mentioned. It would take a while for us to read all of those. How many hours we have this morning? We have a couple hours this morning. Right, we got to all of those. It would take a while. And that's not even mentioning the ones that imply his favor. I'm not going to do that this morning. If you want to read about them, you can. We're going to touch the ones that I believe that the Lord would have to be shared this morning. We're going to start with a very familiar story in Genesis. The fourth chapter, verses 1 through 7. Genesis chapter 1. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7.
And Adam knew Eve, his wife.
She conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the first thing of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And unto Cain, unto his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wrought, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wrought? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So here we have some interactions that are taking place with two brothers and them both seeking God's favor, right? This is what's taking place here. Here one, they're from the same, they're brothers, but they have different jobs that they do. And one is a tiller of the ground, it said, and the other was the fruit. He was a fruit of the ground, and the other was a shepherd, right? So one, he grew things, and the other took care of things. So now came time for them to offer their sacrifices to God. And if you allow me this morning to that word respect, that was God's favor. God's favor was upon Abel, right, for what he brought to him. But God's favor was not upon Cain for what Cain brought, right? So here in this situation, God's favor was on one, but it wasn't on the other. We know how this story goes. I mean, the children could tell us. They know, you know, we know that Cain killed his brother Abel. But you know what? How don't you think this story could have worked out a little bit differently? Right? So here Cain, he's recognizing God saying, I don't have favor on what you presented to me. So how could he maybe have responded to that? How could he have, you know, maybe with a different, you know what, it really boils down to what's down in here, doesn't it? You know, if in his heart he would have said, if he would have came to his brother and said, oh God, I'm happy for you, first of all. You know, it doesn't necessarily,
something happened. He was upset with the fact that God favored his brother and didn't favor him. What did that have to do with his brother? I'm just saying this. What did it have to do? You know, so if what was in his heart was, I want God's favor. I want God's approval. So what do we do if we don't meet the grade? We just, I'm through. What do we got to humble, don't we? All right. What if he, God, what do you want from me? What I offered, Lord, was not accept, God. It wasn't acceptable to you. What do you require of me? Little humility of heart and of mind and of spirit. What did his brother have to do with it? What did Abel's offering have to do with what Cain offered? Huh? I mean, it, what was down here? Right? That something was in there that needed to be addressed. Seeking God's favor. So he took out his actions on his brother, but who was he rebelling against? God. So now when I think about that, I think about myself and I think about us. What does that tell us? Sometimes somebody might be acting out against you, but who are they actually rebelling against? God. I believe it was mentioned something in the Sunday school this morning. Sister Alicia mentioned something about somebody presenting their body for God to use. You mentioned it, was it this morning? Just tied right in. God. So what could, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Somebody might be lashing out at me. Help me, Lord, to not see it as them lashing out at me, because I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know how God may be working in their life and they're rebelling at God. And I just happen to be the fall guy, so to speak. Right? Lord, help me. Lord, I want to seek your favor. And in seeking your favor, Lord, help me to respond in the way that you'd have me to respond. So this could have happened a little different. Do you think things like that still happen today? We just talked about it, right? So may the God, Lord, help us. You know, why are there so many stories in the Bible? You think, does this apply to? Yes, it applies to today. You know, God knew what he was doing when he inspired those that contributed to his Bible. It's still relevant to all of us today. And so now we can recognize a few things from this story. One was how people respond and rebel against God and act out against us. So help us to know how to respond to that. And the other thing that we can learn from this is what's down in the heart. So what can I? Well, there's a scripture that talks about the heart, isn't there? We know about it. It's in Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and the 23rd verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. So now when you hear that word, keep your heart with all diligence. Does that sound like something that you would do haphazardly or part time or sometimes or when you feel like it? It says keep. Why? Why? We just read a story, didn't we? That's an extreme story of what can happen, but it's about what have I got down in here? So, Lord, help me in endeavoring to seek your favor. Help me to keep my heart with all diligence. And if there's something in there that I see that's going against what God desires, help me, Lord, to say, Lord, help. Follow my face And I got to humble myself before the Lord and say, I need some help here. I recognize there's something in here that I know you don't like, Lord, but I don't like it either. You know, you ever feel like a certain way and you maybe something happens and you respond in a certain way and kind of surprise yourself? Like, oh, didn't know that was in there. What do you do then? Oh, well, no, I got to keep my heart with all diligence. If something happens and take it, I respond or act in a way that's contrary to God. I got to fall on my face and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I have an obligation. You told us in your word to keep your heart with all diligence, because I don't know when that God in his love and mercy allowed us to see at that time. Yeah. We read an extreme story, but you know what? If it's down in there, it's going to come out somehow.
That's right.
So, Lord, if it's not what you want in there, I don't want it in there either.
Right.
And Lord, take it out.
Amen.
Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The writer says that the heart is the fountain. All streams of life proceed from it, and care must be taken. So that fountain of life is not stopped up or injured. Don't want that in there. I have the writer said a double watch. A double watch for its safety must be kept up. I don't know how you double watch, but you pay close attention to it. That's all we can say this morning. Pay close attention to what's going on down in here. And if there's something in there that God puts his finger on, Lord, help me to humble myself before you and say, Lord, I need you. I need you to do some work in here. Because there's something in there that's not what you want. You know, it's going to be a help to not only me. If I keep my heart with all diligence, it's going to be a blessing for my own self. But it's also going to be a blessing and a benefit for me gaining God's favor. Right? So it's like we talk about double benefits and double blessings all the time. It's just scattered throughout his word. And not only is it going to be good for me and my life and my relationship with God and my relationship with those around me, but in me endeavoring to follow what he's commanded me to do, then he's going to show favor towards me. So I'm going to have God's favor on me by keeping my heart with all diligence. Minded of the verse of song, it says, cleanse the heart and keep it pure. Right? Lord, would you not only just cleanse it, get it up out of it, but keep it clean. Lord, would you work that in me? Because I want your favor, Lord. I want your favor upon me. You know, all of us have the same privilege, the same opportunity. But you know what? How we respond to different things is determining whether we have God's favor. You know, we have the opportunity. How do we respond? Whether it be in word, in deed, or in action. We just had an example. How did Cain respond? He took his anger out on his brother. But I want God's favor. If I want God's favor, I have to respond to him in a way that's going to be in line with receiving it.
Yes.
So do you think if I turn my back against him and I put up my hand that I'm going to receive his favor?
No.
Not going to be like that, right? He's standing there with open arms, waiting to assist and help. When I say, here I am, Lord, I'm coming, I'm running into your arms for the help that I need. That's how I get his favor. There's a verse in Matthew
that encourages us as it relates to our relationship with Him and endeavoring to seek His favor for whatever we stand in need of. The 7th chapter of Matthew and the 7th and the 8th verse.
Ask. And it
shall be given you.
Seek.
Seek.
And you shall find.
Knock. Knock.
And it shall be opened unto you.
And it shall be open unto you.
For everyone that asketh,
receiveth.
He that seeketh, findeth.
And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Couple of Sundays we talk about a math equation. I see another one. I see another math equation in this scripture here. It says, ask and it shall be given. Wait, ask? Did it put a stipulation on what? But the ask might be too big. It might be too small. It says, ask, and it shall be given. So, in order for it to be given, what do I have to do? But what if I don't want to ask? Yeah, I mean, sometimes as parents, we know our children. We know they want something. We know we may know exactly what they want. Are we just going to give it to them? No. What do? Wait till they ask. You might be... Somehow it always gets back to food, I guess. You know what? You're eating something and you're just enjoying it and they're looking at you with them puppy eyes and you're making it seem so good as you enjoy it. And you know it is. And they look at it. No, you just keep on. What do you do? Can I just have a little pinch? Sure, child. I mean, sometimes you might say, no, I'm going to go ahead and enjoy this one. I mean, you know, but you got to ask, right? You need something from the Lord? Ask. Lord, what can I do, Lord, so that I have your favor upon me? What do you think he's not going to tell you? Ask. And it shall be given you.
Yeah.
Seek, and ye shall find. If you seek after it with your whole heart,
yeah,
it'll be found. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. If I seek his divine will and favor in my life, right? This is a special, you know, I think about how this applies to me and all those that administer the word of God in terms of seeking God's favor. Can we just, God, the Lord will bless the reading of his word, right? So I can just, what does the Lord have for us this week? Well, let's just look in the Bible in this one verse. No, I have to seek his favor. I have to seek his favor. Lord, what do you want? What do you want to be brought forth? I don't know what the saints need, but Lord, you know. So Lord, I have to seek your favor so to be sure that what I'm presenting is what you want presented and not something that I have in mind. You know, I had some thoughts that the Lord had given me about something several weeks ago. And they seem like, and thinking about some of the messages that we've had recently, they've been in right along in line with it. So I'm thinking, all right, well, that's what the Lord going to have. And then he brought this. I'm seeking his favor. Lord, I have to be attentive. What's your will, Lord? This is not my deal. I'm just a vessel. We heard about that recently. I'm just some clay. You're the potter, Lord. I want to be the vessel of honor to you. Lord, what do you want being brought forth? You know what that requires? It's a daily seeking. Lord, what I want your favor. I want your stamp of approval on my life. But is that just for the preachers? That's for all of us, right? It applies to all of us have, we want God's favor on our life because God has a specific purpose for each and every one of us. So we need to seek him daily. Why is it important to seek him daily? Is it possible that we could lose our way a little bit? Is it possible that we could fall out of God's favor? That's possible? Oh, there's probably some stories in the Bible about it, right? Let's be reminded of one. Judges, the 13th chapter. We're gonna just hit a few highlights of this, but when you have an opportunity, I want you to, if you think about it, reread this story and see how this individual seemed like just fall in and out of favor with God throughout his life. And we're talking about Samson. But you know what? God in his love and his mercy, he extended his grace, his favor, another time, so that that Samson could fulfill the purpose that God had for him in his life. So we're just going to read just a few, but I want us to recognize that. So why are stories like this? Again, why it's important for me to see God's favor all the time, because I don't want to get laxed and get lukewarm, just give an opportunity for the enemy. See, that's what I don't want to give no place to the devil. And if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, then I'm giving place to the devil. Then what do I expect? You know, sometimes isn't that when you stop and think about it, what do you expect? God gave us instructions. He told us what he wanted us to do. What we need to do is seek his favor. What do you think is going to happen if you stop? Well, there's a reason why the scripture says that the devil walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What is he looking for? Opportunity. He's looking for an opportunity for you and I when we put our guard down where he can jump in and attack. Did that happen to Samson? You can read about it. But just recognize in Judges, the 13th chapter. Let's start with verse 1 and 2 so we can see God's favor was upon him.
And the children of Israel did evil.
And the children of Israel did evil again. Help us, Lord. That's a whole nother message, isn't it? They did evil in the sight of the Lord. But what did God do? He delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and she bare not. So now we see God's people are in a predicament. Done evil again, and now they're in captivity. And now here we hear about this couple here that's barren. But what did God do? God showed some favor. He showed some favor. And what did he do here? You go down to verse 24. So obviously this was something they couldn't have any children. But God did something special for them. In the 13th chapter and the 24th verse. And she bare a son, called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. So somehow, this couple that was barren, God gave them a child for a specific purpose. So we know God had a specific purpose for Samson to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. So he had a specific purpose for his life, much like you and I. That fact hasn't changed. All of us have a purpose that God has for each and every one of us in our lives. Have you asked him about it? He said, ask, you shall find. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. So we know the story. Samson was, he sought God's favor, it seemed like, for a period of time. But then it seemed like he got, what happened? Distracted. What happens when you get distracted? Trouble happened. A lot of trouble happened, didn't he? He got the enemy. Oh, here's this. He had God's favor on his life. Read about some of the things that he did. He was a special vessel that God had for an appointed time. But he got distracted and started playing games. Again, we're not going to touch all of it this morning, but you read about it. Playing, and it wasn't just like he did it like one. There was a pattern that you see as you read about it. Little games that he played. This is something God blessed you with to be used for a specific divine purpose, and you're playing games with it? See how much a responsibility each and every one of us has? When God gives us something to do, Lord, I want to seek your favor continually to make sure that I'm still doing, Lord, what you want me to do. This is not, we're not playing games here. You know, God in his love and his mercy, he did something for Samson. Samson got to a place. He went through some things, but he got to a place. And we're just going to read, again, for the sake of time, not going through all of that, Judges, the 16th chapter, the 28th verse. You know the story. He was, by this point in time, his eyes were gouged out. And he was in prison. And he asked to come out, the big old party going on, and he asked to come out so he could touch the pillars. What did he say here in the 16th chapter in the 28th verse?
And Samson called unto the Lord.
Samson called unto the Lord
and said,
O Lord God,
remember me,
I pray thee,
and strengthen me.
I pray thee,
only this once, O
God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And as you read, what you learn is when God restored his strength and he pushed those pillars down, everything that he done during his life, it says the Philistines that were lost at that day was more than all that he had done throughout his entire life. So he got to the place where he recognized God's favor. It's not quite like it used to be with me, but he got back to it. And God extended his mercy and his grace and enabled him to fulfill the purpose that God had for him in his life. So, again, why are these stories in the Bible? What can I learn from them? What can I learn from this example? Stay in God's favor. That's what I don't want to have any time and point in my life where I'm out of God's favor. because I know that if I get out of his favor, I'm asking for trouble. So we recognize that we have a great responsibility. I'd like us to get to one other example. The time is really moving on me this morning. It almost seems like the clock is speeding up. But, you know, so we recognize that with God's favor comes responsibility. Yeah. And that's going to lead me into another story. So then if I don't seek his favor, then I don't have the responsibility. I would not recommend that. All right. I would encourage you to seek his favor and recognize that if he has a responsibility for you, that he's going to equip you with everything that you need to be able to fulfill that. There's plenty of stories in here where he's done that time and time and time again, including the one we just read about Samson. So what God wants as we seek his favor, he wants a willing vessel. A willing vessel that recognizes the privilege and the honor it is to have God's favor and be used of God. We'll go through this quickly, but we're all familiar with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Let's read in Luke, the first chapter, the 26th through the 30th verse. So we recognize, and we all know this story about how Mary, God revealed. Well, let's just read it. Luke 1, 26 through 30. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth,
to a virgin espoused to a man
whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. Thou hast found favor with God. God is looking down on you and he's just looking for a willing vessel. And you've been living your life in a way that's been pleasing and honoring to me. God is saying this. And he said, I have a special assignment for you. You could imagine, here come an angel just appearing unto you and saying, even the things that she probably was like, who were you talking about me? This is what the angel said. Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. I'm worthy of all this. You imagine why she had a little bit of fear and trepidation. Is somebody giving you accolades like that? Well, because it's like, what's going to happen next? So she was a little bit concerned. She was troubled at this saying. She said, and then the angel said, Fear not. Fear not, thou hast found favor with God. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be worried. You got favor with God. See, when you have God's favor, then you have God with you now, see? See, and it doesn't matter what he wants you to do. It doesn't matter, because he's going to give you everything that you need to be able to do it. And when you get to the end, By the time the angel left in verse 38, what was Mary saying?
And Mary said,
Behold the handmaid of the Lord.
Be it unto me according to thy word.
She went from the shock to the fear to the yes, Lord. God will supply. You know, and in this instance, in this situation, even though she didn't ask for it, God gave her a witness. Right? She had her cousin Elizabeth. Huh? With John the Baptist. She was content. God had, she was saying, Lord, you've shown favor, and I'm going to continue to seek your favor. And Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing and able. And God saw that, and he said, you know what? I'm going to give you a little something extra. And he did. Don't you think if God done that for those that have gone before, that he'll do the same thing for us? Yes, he will. God will supply whatever is needed to do whatever he asks. He did it for Mary. Remember, he did it for Jesus too when he was in the garden. And guess what? He'll do it for you and I as well. Thank the Lord. One more verse. 1 John 3:22. How do I seek his favor? How do I stay? How can I stay in your favor, Lord? 1
John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask.
We receive of him
because we keep his commandments
and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So if I can say, Lord, how can I keep your favor? How can I keep your stamp of approval on my life? Continue to keep his commandments. Do what he said, what he told us to do. And in all those things, do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Pleasing in, Lord, in what I'm doing, am I pleasing and honoring you? If I want to keep his favor, I want to keep God's favor on my life. Lord, am I doing those things that are pleasing in your sight? One writer said it this way. Obedient souls are prepared for blessings. So, Lord, if I'm be ready. If I stay in another place, it says the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. So, Lord, help me by your grace and strength to keep your commandments and to remain in your favor, to be in tune with your spirit and to your divine will. And know that in seeking and asking and finding, I'm only going to be seeking and asking and following after those things which I know are going to be pleasing in his sight. I'm not going to be asking amiss. You know, because he said, you know, seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open to you. Ask and you shall receive. It's my desire by the help and by the grace of God that I remain in God's favor each and every day. I desire your prayers. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.